Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Chris and Amy Show is sponsored by Goal Tracker Pro, turning maybe someday into done.
Okay, 3, 2, 1, hit it.
It's the Chris and Amy Show.
You know who it is.
Also, if you didn't know, this is called the show.
Yeah. Now, Amy Marks Kors, Chris Ronji on KMOX.
Welcome in. Good morning. It's New Year's Eve. Chris Ronji, we did it. We made it to the last day of 2024.
Now let's just try to make it to the first.
And we will. Well, I will. On the other hand, might not, because Chris Ronji is on the scene. He's a man of the people. He went up to Chicago to broadcast live from a bar in the proximity of the Winter Classic.
That's right. I'm not actually there. I'm at Almost Home Tavern, which is at 3801 North Clark. It's about a block and a half north of Wrigley Field where the game is. So if you are coming into the area and, you're trying to do a little pregame stuff, I'll be here. Come find me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here. It's fun. And the game's at what, 4 o'clock today?
Puck drop is at 4 o'clock. Hey, so if people come find you, will you buy them a shot of Malort?
That's right. So here's the deal. If you come into the bar and find me at Almost Home Tavern, it's right on the corner of Clark and Grace, and you are wearing Blues gear, I will get you a shot of Malort.
This is incredible.
On me. Yeah.
Listen, I don't know that you can make it by the end of this show if you're in St. Louis. You would have to drive pretty fast. But if you are anywhere between St. Louis and Chicago, I think it's worth going all the way to Chicago.
I imagine, Amy,
that
if you're coming here, you need to have left early.
Mm-hmm.
Because you got to give yourself a little bit of a buffer in case things happen. So I imagine a lot of St. Louis people will be here early and ready to go.
Okay. If you are listening to us on 1120 a.m., thank you. You might also want to try the Odyssey app because it is crystal clear. So, yes, there's the 98.7 FM as well, the FM signal. But the Odyssey app, you can take us with you wherever you go. You can go to the KMOX page. There's a little microphone icon on the KMOX page. If you listen to us on the Odyssey app, you can leave us a voice message. And we really, really want to hear from you today because we are going to let you get things off your chest today. If you've got a lot of regrets over the past year or so. So that's what you need to do is make sure you've downloaded the Odyssey app.
Time now for the top of the order. The top three stories everybody will be talking about.
All right, as we mentioned, it's New Year's Eve. Yay, the last day of 2024. We're going to share, some of our biggest stories, some of our biggest regrets. And again, this is your opportunity to get it off your chest. Be a fresh version of you for 2025. So leave us a voice message on the Odyssey app or text us 314-436-7900.
And how about the Missouri Tigers beating Iowa 27-24 in the Music City Bowl yesterday? This afternoon, though, it's going to be the Fighting Illini against South Carolina in the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl.
Wow. What time does that start?
Two.
So you can watch the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl.
And then flip to the Winter Classic.
Flip to the Winter Classic because the Blues take on the Chicago Blackhawks today, this afternoon, at Wrigley Field in the Winter Classic. Puck drop at 4 p.m. Yes, normally on New Year's Day, but it is New Year's Eve this year. Also, the Billikens play Fordham at 1 p.m. today. That game will be broadcasted live right here on KMOX.
I wanted to go there, but I couldn't afford them. Hey, Amy, do you hate that I did that? I am so mad.
Well, because
you kind
of messed it up. You should have said I wanted to get tickets,
but I couldn't afford them. Damn.
I know.
Yeah, I blew that one. I always blow things. It's
terrible. You're a little off. That's okay. We're a little off because guess who was surprised today that you were in Chicago?
Who?
Me.
What? We've talked about this like 40 times.
I didn't think we confirmed. Because
what?
I,
oh my God!
To Ronja's, yes. In Ronja's defense,
yeah.
We did talk about it a gazillion
like
times.
But in fact, we have talked about this going back to
August,
as soon as the game was announced.
Yeah. But here's
because
the thing:
we both wanted to be here for it.
There's always that final, like on yesterday, like see ya. Oh no, I won't. I'll be in Chicago.
Or
and remember,
I did that.
I'm in Chicago. You didn't say it.
And
so last night I went to bed. I was like, I get to see my friend Ronji tomorrow. And then I woke up and I thought, I get to see my friend Ronji today. And then I got to work and at like 9:15, I'm like,
you got worried about
where's Ronji? Well,
yeah.
I just thought I was going to make a snarky comment like, ooh, the last day of the year. I guess he doesn't have to try and show up on time.
Oh, listen to you.
I know.
Of all people.
Yeah. But anyway, Matt's like, Ronji's in Chicago.
I knew it.
I just didn't think we confirmed.
This is astounding. It's astounding. Yeah, yeah. We've confirmed. I'm here. I'm glad to be. I wish we could have done the thing where we all came up here.
Yeah.
That was our original plan.
It was our original
plan. You and me
plan.
And Pajeski and, you know, get ready for this game today.
Yeah.
But,
well, not all of us have a second family Chicago that we can stay with.
Well,
we don't all
true.
Have a brownstone. We're not all Republican mega donors
that's
who
right.
have a wife and kids and can go to
what
Chicago when we want.
Why am I on this show if I'm a Republican mega donor? I don't need to be on this show.
No, because
I should buy the station.
You're motivating people to vote for Trump just by you being you. You know what I mean? It's like
Yeah.
It's 4D chess.
I think
you're
going
to be the most reprehensible progressive version of yourself every day that just drives people to donate to Republican causes.
That totally makes sense. Just such an off-putting guy.
You're so off-putting.
Like, oh, whatever he likes, I don't.
100%. That's what you call negative partisanship. Hey, I will say this. We're not super political today, but I'm very, very excited because at noon we'll be talking with Jonah Goldberg, editor-in-chief and co-founder of The Dispatch, LA Times columnist, commentator for CNN, a senior fellow at the American Enterprise Institute. I have all his books. I listen to his podcast every day.
Oh, I can't
I'm in
wait.
Love with Jonah Goldberg.
Oh, my God. Could you
do
me a favor?
Don't
Could
be a fangirl.
Yes.
I know.
Yes,
I've
man.
Already practiced
look,
not
I am,
telling him.
It's exciting. I'm really looking forward to talking to Jonah. But, we're not, this isn't the Pope. We're not talking to.
I'm more excited to
yeah,
meet
I know.
Jonah than the Pope.
Bono isn't coming on the show. Jonah's great. But,
Jonah Goldberg is my Bono.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. He's your Bono. Okay.
That's what I'm going to tell him.
Yeah.
That's how I'm going to introduce him.
Yeah. All right.
Because I want him to remember me and love me and be like, wow, I love Amy.
And then as soon as he gets off the air, he'll say never again.
Never
because
again.
She was weird.
I know.
Yeah. Never
I know.
Again.
It's like you don't want to quote the person too much. Like, I read your book and remember what you said yesterday? Wasn't that funny?
Yeah. Dude. Don't do it.
I won't, but I will tell him he's my Bono. But that's at noon. We're also going to chat with Lou Korak, who's also in St. Louis. Ronj, I think you should text him. Tell him to meet
you. No. Is he not covering the game?
Did I say also in St. Louis?
Yeah, he's
I
in
meant
Chicago.
Also in Chicago.
Yeah, he's got to be up here.
You should text him right now so that live on air, you and Lou Korak can do a shot of Malort.
I'll tell you what.
I'll Venmo you the
Lou
money.
Lou would do that. He would come down here for a shot.
Okay, our producer's texting him right now, and I will buy the shot.
Okay.
For Lou,
if
he does that, because here's what here's a question, Ronj, and you're up there too, which I also think you are. It was very valiant and self-sacrificial of you to go to Chicago because you're also keeping an eye on the weather. Because I heard the rain is not great for the Winter Classic.
It's a little
rain's not great.
It's right now. It's not terrible, but it is coming down a little bit.
Is it as
people
warm?
Have their wipers?
Is
on.
It warm there? Like here, it's 48, 50 degrees.
It's 38 degrees right now.
Okay, so if it drops
a little bit, yeah, this is kind of like World Series weather in Chicago.
Okay, hey,
if they ever have one
again, we do want to hear from you because if we hear from you now, we might be able to play your voice message in just a few minutes. It's the Odyssey app, the microphone icon on the KMOX webpage. We want to know, what do you want to get off your chest from 2024?
You know what? Right now, all I'm thinking about is what was the name of that fish during the news?
The
bobheaded bonefish or something? What was it?
Yeah. because Debbie said she was going to look, because I was going to open the show, say, talking about blob-headed bonefish.
I want to talk about that bonefish.
Bonefish.
No. I want to get that off my chest. Let's stop naming things.
Yeah.
Weird names.
Here's, find out about the blob head. And I will say, I'm going to kick off today with my own regret.
Okay.
And that is from yesterday. That yesterday was the International Day of Bacon.
Uh-huh. And oh,
did,
I know what you're going to say.
We did not broadcast from the Bacon Log Cabin.
Oh, I thought you were...
That was a missed opportunity.
Well, okay. Well, here's my... It's not regret. It's my grievance toward you for talking about bacon as if it is... It's you said it was overrated.
Yeah. Overexposed, maybe, like Ryan Reynolds.
Okay, but sometimes things are just so great, the overexposure doesn't matter because you can't get enough of it.
I think that's not true.
I can't believe you said the things you said about it.
Listen, I can't blow smoke. This is the voice of St. Louis KMOX.
Oh, yeah.
If I'm not honest with the people, what do I have? I have nothing.
Yeah, you don't. You have nothing.
I have no pride.
You have literally nothing. No pride.
I have literally nothing if I'm not honest with the people. And
you have nothing to live for?
Somewhere there's someone out there who is afraid to speak up.
Hey, there's a Blues fan right here.
Oh, my
gosh. Blues fans walking by right here.
But somewhere there's someone afraid to speak up about bacon. They're afraid of being mocked, trivialized, belittled by people like you.
Nothing smells like it. Nothing tastes like it.
I gave them hope. I'm not saying I don't like bacon. I said it's a little overexposed like Ryan Reynolds.
Okay. I think you need to take it back.
And a blob-headed fish, which looks just like it sounds.
A blob-headed fish.
Well, he's Chris Ranji. Speaking of,
come get a shot of Malort.
Speaking of blob-headed fishes, he is at the
Almost Home Tavern.
Almost Home Tavern.
Almost Home Tavern.
The Almost Home Tavern in Chicago.
3801 North Clark in Wrigleyville, about a block and a half north of Wrigley Field.
Go say hi. Get a shot of Malort with him and Luke Korak. My goal is to get him blitzed by 12:30. He's Chris Ranji. I'm Amy Markscores. Regrets next on The Chris and Amy Show.
Regrets, I've had a few, but then again, too few to mention. I did.
It's your favorite show, the show of the blob-headed fish. Chris Ranji, Amy Markscores. We've got regrets for you so that you can get it off your chest. Enter 2025 as a fresh person, light and happy. Also, some things that just happened in 2024 that we forgot about because so much happened. So many big things happened. Yeah, the election, blah, blah, blah. But other things happened, too. Ranj, do you have any regrets you want to start with?
You know what? I have all kinds of regrets, Amy.
Okay, if you're going to be generic here.
No. This is not generic. I'm being real right now.
Okay.
I'm being real. I am so indecisive.
Oh.
I am an indecisive person, and I've realized that it takes me a long time to decide to do anything. I mean, whether it's if I am at a store and I'm trying to pick out toothpaste, it takes me forever. Because I'm like, well, this one has whitening. This one doesn't, though. Oh, this one's got charcoal or whatever, like the volcano stuff.
Yeah.
This one looks like I am going to resolve in 2025 to just be a more decisive person and then go with whatever I've decided to do. And I think this is a much bigger deal than it sounds like. But I find myself, and now we're doing therapy. We're doing, Ranj is doing therapy on himself right now. I have come to the realization that it takes me forever to make a decision and that I should just make one and go with it and whatever happens, happens. Not that I shouldn't weigh options, but I got to be better at this, man. This is a real problem for me.
Okay.
It's almost sometimes I feel locked up because I can't make a decision.
That is really deep, Ron.
Right?
You are.
I didn't mean to do that.
You are like psychologically constipated or something. Because, so do you think this goes into what we joke about you being non-committal and flighty and flaky
dodgy? I'm not dodgy.
You are, though. I think
no,
it's
I'm
so
not.
Some of it is like, yeah, you're waiting for a better party to come along. But another part of it is that you can't decide what you want to do.
That's right. Because what I do is, and I bet I'm not alone in this, and it would be very comforted if you're like me, but I feel like I will look at my options and go, well, if I do this, then this could happen. And then this could happen too. And that would be really good. But if I go over here, this might, but then this might not be as good. I don't really know. That's what I end up doing with almost everything.
I have always struggled with this. It's something, I mean, going back to like talking to my dad about it when I was like a young girl, I'm terrified of making the wrong decision.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't want to make the wrong decision. I'm especially, sometimes I have a hard time making a decision because I don't want to make a decision and then have everyone else around me feel like martyrs because they went along with my decision. If it's going, where are you going to go to dinner? Where do you want to?
Oh, this is a great choice, Amy.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Way to go.
Yeah. And then you feel bad. I'm a slow shopper. My friends, like, they won't shop with me because I have to look at everything and picture it in my house because what if I buy it and then I don't like it anymore?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. See, I'm exactly the same way. Mm. It's just, you wish you had options that, like, one of them was perfect.
Right.
And one of them had everything. This option has everything I need.
This is why I like small stores, like a small boutique store where there are, there's five pants. That's it. Versus where you really have to go hunting in a massive store, and it's hard. Yeah. It's just too much stuff.
Yeah,
too much
you're right.
to look at. What if I miss
you're
it? Right. Well, that's a really good one, Ronj. I want you to be more decisive in 25.
So do I. And speaking of stores, I have a grievance for 2024 going into 2025, and I know it's not exclusive to this place, but I have also come to the realization that Nordstrom Rack, which is a fine store, when you go into it, every transaction that happens in front of you takes 1 hour. Every transaction. It's never just a simple, here are the pants that I'm buying. This is how much they cost. I'm putting them in the bag for you now. Here's your receipt. Goodbye. Yeah. There's always a conversation with the person who's checking out in front of you.
And you know
the
why?
Person who works there. No, I don't.
Because it's confusing. People don't know if they bought something at Nordstrom Rack or Nordstrom or Kohl's. They can't tell. They throw it in a bag. And sometimes they try to return things multiple times.
Oh.
And what happened was, I don't remember how this happened, but somehow Mason Jar was at Nordstrom Rack, and he tried to return a pair of shorts, but somehow he had already returned the pair of shorts, and I think it's because he bought them at Nordstrom. They still had them. And she's like, these have already been returned. He's like, but I have them. And I think it's because he bought the shorts at like a different store.
So did he get his money back twice?
I can't remember how it went down, but I remember
he stole from Nordstrom.
This was like I think it was like our second date. We swung by Nordstrom Rack to make a return.
Wow. That is you talk about a hot second date. Hey.
It was a pair of shorts. And
hey, baby,
like,
I want to take you somewhere today. What do you want to do today? Well, we need to stop by Nordstrom Rack. I need to return these shorts first. And then whatever you want. Whatever you want, girl. We'll go. We have the whole day to ourselves.
We couldn't return the shorts.
And we have the whole world in front of us. You could pick anything you want. But first, I need to stop by Nordstrom Rack.
The one at 141 in Manchester.
I go to 141 in Manchester.
Yeah.
And I got to drop these pants.
And the thing is,
he's
like, I'd like to return these shorts. And she's like, okay. And she's like, man, do you have the receipt? And he's like, yeah. She's like, these have already been returned. And he's like, but I have them. They've been in my car. And she's like, well, I can't return them twice. He's like, but what? I still have the shorts.
I think, it would be really funny if he came back out to the, so like you didn't go in, right? This is my vision.
Yeah.
You stayed in the car. He went in to do it. He comes back out with the shorts and you go, why do you still have the shorts? And he says, she said I already returned them. But you're holding them.
So I went in because it was our second date. Yeah. And I was like smelling candles. And I'm smelling candles for a long time. And I'm like, why is he not returning these shorts? And he is like, I can't return these shorts because she said they've already been returned. So it was a failed errand. There's nothing worse than spending 35 minutes on an errand and it's nothing happened.
Nothing happens.
You've made no ground.
But I've told you how I feel about returning stuff. It makes me feel like I've accomplished something.
Yeah, unless you don't, because they say they've already been returned. So I think what happened was he bought two shorts of the same brand and returned one to the one store. I don't know.
Awesome.
I got to figure out what happened. Hey, just
I already see Blues fans walking around
this
the neighborhood.
This is incredible.
All over, man.
Why are you not buying more Malort?
Because one of them was a child just now, so.
Well, that would explain it.
I can't buy him a Lord.
Lou Korak, St. Louis Blues writer for NHL.com and the Hockey News, will be joining us next. Also from Chicago, because the Winter Classic Blues and Blackhawks is today at 4 p.m. It's the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX. The St. Louis Blues take on the Chicago Blackhawks in the 2024/25 Winter Classic from Wrigley Field in Chicago, Illinois. Over there in Chicago, broadcasting live from almost home, is Chris Ronji, where I believe they must be serving brunch because it's 10:30 in the morning and you have been saying hi to about 300 people.
Well, yeah, they open at 10 o'clock. They're getting ready for the game today. Well, also, this is the Alabama Bar.
Okay.
This is the official Chicago Alabama Bar, and they have a bowl game, I think, at 11.
Okay,
so
that would make sense.
You're going to have some, there are already some Blues and Blackhawks fans here, and the Alabama people are coming soon.
It's been pretty busy, and someone who I guess does not like Malort, which is pretty rude.
Oh, Lou.
Pretty rude is Lou.
Super rude.
Lou Korak, St. Louis Blues writer for NHL.com and the Hockey News. He joins us fresh off the shuttle bus. Right, Lou?
Not quite yet.
Oh,
but,
okay.
Coming up soon, unfortunately. I don't have quite the luxury that Chris does there.
Well,
I'm a little jealous and envious, I guess.
Lou, I imagine if I had said come down for a shot of Schlivovitz, you would have been here.
Well.
But I know what you would have done. You would have made room for that.
Yeah.
Oh, of course. Of course. I mean, that's, you know, it warms the heart, right?
Yes, it does.
Hey, Lou, did they have the alumni game last night like they did in St. Louis?
No, they did not.
Okay.
Actually, they did not. You know what? It would have been a great night for it. I mean, it was some fog obviously came in during the Blue skate, and they skated at 5:30. But other than that, I mean, it was. You know, when I got there, it was a gorgeous scene, and kind of reminded you of how you remember how nice that was back in 2017. I mean, it was a gorgeous day for the alumni game. Bush Stadium was packed. I mean, mm-hmm. I think it would have worked out here too. But I think it's something that the league doesn't necessarily encourage doing. And I know the Blues back then decided, hey, I think this is a good idea. We're going to go ahead and do it anyway. And, I think it worked out pretty good. But no, unfortunately,
amazing.
They did not.
That's
awesome.
It's so interesting because we actually last week spoke with Kevin Shattenkirk, obviously on his retirement. And I remembered him and the rest of the current Blues team, meaning current at the time, 2016-17, going into that locker room before or after the alumni game, and Bobby Hull was there, Wayne Gretzky, Peter Stastny, like the names, the Hall of Famers that were in that locker room, that the current Blues team kind of, they weren't the stars for once in a locker room, that they were just as in awe and just as much a fan as everyone else with that alumni game. It really was special here in St. Louis.
Well, I mean, how can you not be? Yeah, I mean, and I think Wayne Gretzky's in town for this game, too. And I saw Chris Chelios walking around yesterday. So, I mean, you could have gotten something together for this. And I think it would have went off well. But no, they just the two teams had their practices yesterday. And I think they enjoyed it. I mean, they got to bring their families out for a skate afterwards. And that's the time where you really have to enjoy this and embrace this, because obviously, not everybody gets to partake in one of these. And, well, maybe people around the league will think that the Blackhawks are in this thing every year. But the Blues, this is their third one now. Yeah. This is their third one since 2017. So, yeah, I mean, it's a rivalry game. They know that. And if I'm not mistaken, this is the first Winter Classic rematch if I'm not mistaken on this. So, the league appreciates the rivalry between the two teams, and you know, you've got Connor Bedard on Chicago's side. They're seeing if there's a budding star there, and Robert Thomas is kind of the torchbearer here for the Blues. So it should be an interesting afternoon, and hopefully the weather starts to cooperate. I I'm no forecaster here, but I think this is going to start to clear up early to mid-afternoon. And those winds, Chris, you know as well as anybody, should be howling off Lake Michigan and should be make for an interesting hockey game.
Yeah, it only seems to find its way to be windy when it's really cold out. When it's hot, there's no wind. But I don't know what it is, man. But this city really finds a way to get windy when it's 2 degrees. I imagine that playing in rain is not ideal, but a lot of these guys did play growing up outside. So, if the game does go that way where, it doesn't clear up and the ice is a little wet, well, what are those conditions like for them?
That's going to be tough. And I think that's something for the league. They monitor because I think you can tolerate some because remember back in 2017, they were really following along how that was going to play out. And luckily it went off without a hitch, but about a half hour after the game, it just downpoured in St. Louis. And they would have stopped the game in that regard. I think they're hoping that this changes over into snow showers will be fine, but it won't affect the ice too much. But what it's going to do is I think the teams understand that you're not going to be able to go out there and really put on a show. I think you just have to basically play a straightforward, in a sense, a boring kind of a game. And if you're going to have any success, you really can't go out there, for example, like a Connor Bedard or a Jordan Kyrou, who, they like to put on a stick show. And I don't know if that's necessarily going to be a good thing because, the puck's not going to be handled cleanly and all that. It's something that both teams are going to have to be aware of. And if you're willing to put in 60 minutes of maybe a boring style of game, just straightforward, go up and down with the puck, it should go off without a hitch.
Yeah, it's going to be close because that game's so early in the afternoon. If it were a 7 o'clock game, I think the temperature would drop enough that it would turn to snow, but it's going to be flirting with 34, maybe 35 degrees.
Yeah, it looks like mid to upper 30s
today. Which is a little rough. Lou, have you reconnected with Pat Maroon at all while you're in Chicago?
I did. We got a chance to talk to him yesterday, and it was good to see him again. Man, I'll tell you what, the thing that surprised me the most was seeing his son, Anthony. I mean, I remember that kid was about, I don't want to say knee high, but he was about waist high to me the last time I saw him. And man, that kid has sprung up, but apparently he's been drafted into the USHL by Green Bay, I believe, the Wranglers, if I'm not mistaken. I think that's their name. But that kid is big. He's going to be every bit as – I don't know if he's going to have the bulk that his dad has, but he's going to have every bit of his size. And I think Pat's looking forward to this. He still has a lot of friends over on the blue side. Specifically, Braden Schenn wrote about that this morning. They've traded jabs, actually. They've been texting, apparently, all week long and just trading some friendly barbs. Those two have become really, really close friends. And Robert Thomas had a little bit of a laugh too, because I asked him, I said, have you traded any texts with Maroon? He goes, no, I haven't seen him yet, but I'm sure he's got something in store for us. So there's a lot of respect there. They know what he has meant. Obviously a part of the Stanley Cup championship team, and there's guys on the Blues still that are here from that have so much respect for him. So, but when the puck drops, there's no friends anymore, though.
Yeah, no. You know what, though, Lou? I do have to say this about Pat Maroon. Who would have thought when he was playing for the Bandits at Chesterfield in an ice rink at the old Hardee's Iceplex that has since been knocked down that he would be a 3-time Stanley Cup champion? Like,
it's crazy to think.
That's insane.
Yeah.
He had such a kind of an unconventional path to the NHL, or perhaps maybe more unconventional considering his success in the NHL. He's a crazy story.
It is. And on top of that, how about John Cooper?
Yeah, I mean, right.
He's his coach, and here's a guy that's going to be leading Canada at the Four Nations face-off and in the next Olympics. I mean, think about that, too. I mean, it is. It's just... You can come up with some great stories out of these, where it doesn't look like it's going to be much of anything. And here these guys now are at the pinnacle. I mean, Pat's 36 years old, and I'm not going to make that call for him, whether he's at the tail end of his career. Teams still seem to value him. He signed with Chicago this year. I know one thing, that because I have a brother that lives in that Oakville area where he's from. And anytime I go around that area, I still hear from people, what the heck was he thinking signing with that team? Mm-hmm. that just goes to show you. But that just goes to show you the Blues-Blackhawks rivalry,
It's, you know what, it's a city rivalry more than anything. I think it now has expanded to, well, I mean, all the teams. There was always, I told people this when I was growing up. When I went away to college, I met a lot of people who were Cubs fans, you know, because they went to where I went. And I would tell them, when I was growing up, there was this feeling amongst Cardinals fans that if the Cardinals didn't win the World Series, you'd kind of like to see the Cubs do it. You know, there was this friendly sort of,
really?
You know, yeah, like a little brother kind of, hey, you know, I hope they do. But now it is not like that at all. I'd say in the last 15, 20 years, it's gotten way more hostile. Not in a bad way. I mean, there are like Dodgers, Giants. That's a pretty bad rivalry. But this one has gotten more heated than it used to be. The Chicago-St. Louis thing is much more heated.
What about all the fights in the arena parking lot in the 80s and 90s?
Well, that's hockey. They're always fighting. Hockey's a little different. But there is something, Lou, you know, talking about Pat Maroon, there is something about like seeing a former Cardinal who became a Met. That was tough for me as a kid. Or, you know, seeing a Blues player become a Blackhawks player. Whatever it is, there's just something about that shift more than any of the others. Maybe the Red Wings a little bit to an extent.
Yeah.
But there's something about going from one of those teams to the other.
It is. And, you know, heck, when you talk about fights, I mean, just talk to Kelly Chase. I mean, he can give you some stories about some fights between these two franchises. But you know what? At the end of the day, it's crazy because I mentioned Chris Chelios earlier. That was a guy that was in the middle of a lot of that physicality when the two teams were going at it. But you see him now, and these guys, in the end, when they're done playing, they wind up being the best of friends. That just tells you what the competition means. I mean, when the puck drops, it becomes a job now. And that's something that, you know, again, these teams were embracing the moment yesterday. But today, I think now the focus has shifted to business. I mean, the Blackhawks are struggling. We know that. They've lost four in a row coming into this game. The Blues are teeter. I mean, they are what their record says they are. They're 500, but now it's business. So, I mean, you know, everything was all hunky-dory yesterday, but now going into this thing today, it's, you know, there's 2 points on the line. Chicago wants to kind of keep spoiling St. Louis the season here, and you've got a Blues team that thinks, you know, they're still in the hunt. They still want to hang around. They know they can't afford to keep giving away these points because they matter so much right now.
So that's where I wanted to go with this. You know, the Blues right now around a 500 team. They are exactly 500. They got the four overtime losses. But what do you like? What do you think they really are? I mean, they're 500 now. But what do you think that deep down with a new coach and, you know, it's been a few weeks now that Montgomery's been back. But what do you think they believe of themselves?
They still think that they can stay relevant, at least in this playoff hunt. Now, whether they feel like they can be a major player to obviously win it all this year, I think that even they maybe understand that that's still a bit of a stretch right now. But, you know, crazier things have happened. We've seen that. I mean, we've seen teams that sneak into the playoffs, and next thing you know, you get hot. And the LA Kings did it back in the early 2010s. I mean, nobody saw that coming, and they roared through the playoffs like a freight train all of a sudden. But I'm not saying that that's what the Blues are here. But, Chris, like you said, they are what their record says they are. I mean, when you're this deep into the season and you're talking 17-17-4, I think it kind of identifies who you are. Perfect example, Sunday. That's a game you got to win. And that's a game that if you just pick up the stat sheet, you're thinking the Blues won this thing going away. And then next thing you know, you look at the score and you're going, wait a minute, they lost?
Yeah.
So these are the kinds of games that they've allowed. It happened earlier in the month against San Jose, a team you need to beat, you know. And then they've beaten teams that maybe you didn't expect them to beat. I think that's
combinations.
That's why this kind of balances out where they are. But they know, I mean, we're almost at the midway point here. Mm-hmm. If they're going to make themselves relevant, these are the games you have to have. You just cannot afford any slip-ups right now because it's so tight. Teams are going to start. You get into January, teams are going to start, hey, they're going to want to look at positioning. They're going to want to start making runs. you can't afford to win one, lose one, win one, lose one. It's just not going to, it's not feasible to be able to make playoffs doing that. But they still think that they could be a relevant playoff team. Now, how deep they feel like they can be, I still think, you know, they're looking big picture here as far as wanting to, you know, build and build from within their prospects, get these guys ready in a couple of years, maybe then they become relevant.
Lou Korak, St. Louis Blues writer for NHL.com and the Hockey News up in Chicago to cover the Winter Classic, which is pitted the St. Louis Blues against the Blackhawks at Wrigley Field. That is puck drop at 4 p.m. Lou, have fun today and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to both of you, and always great to talk to you.
Thank you. That is Lou Korak. Ranj, as we go to break here, I just have to say, how many more Blues fans have you seen walk into this bar?
I think there are four in here right now. The crowd is sparse.
Really? Have you said hi to everyone who's gone through the door? Because you've been saying hi to people this entire time.
I know. Well, first of all, I screwed up again, as I always do.
Okay.
I brought the cable to connect, to the wireless, because that's how you connect now. And I underestimated how long this cable is. So instead of being out in the main room, I'm in this little side room.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'm not very smart.
That's sad.
40 feet does not go as far as you think.
It sounds like a long way, but it's not.
It does not. It's not. It has to be no more than 20 feet.
He's Chris Ranji. I'm Amy Markscores. Did you see this? Is next on the Chris and Amy Show.
Now, did you see this? With Chris and Amy.
Did you see that Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt have reached a divorce settlement?
I did.
After, do you realize how long this has been going on?
8 years?
8 years.
Has it been 8 years?
8 years. They filed for divorce, or she filed back in 2016, claiming that he had been abusive towards her and her kids on a private jet flight. I guess they were coming back from Europe. But they have finally, that's such a long, is that typical? It can't be typical.
8 years is long.
Years.
I know it can take a really long time, a year, 2 years, three maybe, but eight is a really long time. And that was a really ugly story. The FBI was involved, that he like hit her and shoved her, shoved one of the kids. Really, really ugly. And I don't know, do you think Jennifer Aniston is glad she got out of the whole thing? Or do you think he regrets that he cheated on Jennifer Aniston?
I'm sure he's got some regret in him, and I think she's probably fine. I don't think she cares anymore.
Yeah, she probably doesn't care. Maybe. I don't know.
She did perfect. I bet there was a time where she
was... Like the whole Angelina Jolie, Billy Bob Thornton, writing your name in blood stuff. Shouldn't that have been a little bit of a red flag for Brad Pitt? Like if you're, I don't know, whatever it was they did, they carried each other's blood around and signed their name in blood. And then they get divorced, and he's like, I'll take a chance.
Oh, I think you're thinking of Billy Bob Thornton?
Yeah.
Yeah, is that what you said?
Yeah. Wasn't that a red flag? That should have been a red flag for Brad Pitt. She also kissed her brother. That was weird.
I don't remember that.
Mm-hmm.
On the mouth?
On the red carpet, on the mouth, yeah.
With tongue?
Okay, don't get into details,
Ron. I don't remember this.
Yes, Google it.
I remember she and Billy Bob with the vials of blood around her neck.
Brad Pitt, I should feel sorry for him. I don't. He should have known what he was getting into.
No, of course not.
Hey, this is not great, but basically all of Puerto Rico is without power right now. A blackout hit the island this morning. And so, of course, people are there. They're preparing to celebrate New Year's. I actually have some friends who are there on vacation, but over 1.3 million people are in the dark, and it could take a day or two to restore power. They said it's an eerie silence and an eerie darkness when everything's just off.
Yeah,
that's not great.
Especially, I mean, I don't know what the weather is like now. I'm sure it's okay, but you still don't want to have that happen at this time of year.
Yeah, apparently it was a failure caused by an underground power line. So they're trying to work on it, but 90% of the island, they are in the dark. They're without power. Not great.
Amy,
Yes.
I would suggest, and I don't think I have enough time to bring this story. Yeah, I'm going to do it anyway.
Oh.
Here's what I would tell you. Okay. We were just talking about domestic violence. So don't do domestic violence. It's bad. But this Florida gentleman has discovered in the worst possible way that you shouldn't do it,
okay,
because he broke up with his girlfriend of a long time. His name is Hervin Romero.
Okay.
He went back to assault her and her new boyfriend. He brought his weapon with him. This happened on November 27th. He fired shots at the two of them and shot off his own finger.
Oh, well, good for him. I'm glad.
Yeah, see, that'll show you.
Yeah.
So authorities
say holding the gun with his hand in front of the barrel?
I don't know what he was. I have no idea. I have no idea. But the other two, I think, are okay, it looks like. But he shot off his own finger.
Weird.
He dropped the gun and then he ran away.
Okay, well.
What are you doing with your hand in front of the weapon?
I don't know. You gotta be, he's an idiot.
That's like the last thing you do, right?
I would
Let's
think
get
so.
A gun expert on and find out if the last thing you do is put your hand in front of the barrel.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like a great idea.